Today, the State Department of Health Services is reporting 563 new cases of COVID-19 and has retracted two deaths as having been attributable to the virus. The number of hospital beds being utilized to treat COVID patients has dropped to 919, the lowest COVID bed count since November 1st, and the CDC has ranked Arizona 19th nationally for the number of new COVID cases. Arizona's Native American population has been hit disproportionately hard by the COVID-19 pandemic. Native Americans make up about 5% of Arizona's population, but account for at least 8% of the state's deaths from the virus. But since vaccines started rolling out across the state, Native Americans have been getting vaccinated at higher rates than the general population. KJZZ's Catherine Davis-Young spoke with Agnes Adekai about this. She's a member of the Navajo Nation and director of Health Disparities Outreach and Prevention Education at the University of Arizona's Zuckerman College of Public Health.
Agnes, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Could you start by helping us understand some of the historic reasons for health disparities among Indigenous populations?
Among Indigenous populations in the United States, our health care is tied to treaties that established access to health care, education, and resources in exchange for land. And due to that contractual arrangement, our access to health care has really been at the discretion of the federal budget of the United States. And currently, our Indian Health Service, which provides primary care to over 570 tribal communities across the United States, is severely underfunded by about 60%. And due to the fact of underfunding, a lot of our Indigenous brothers and sisters do not access health care at the rates that they should or receive adequate health care.
So how did these inequities extend into the COVID-19 pandemic?
With such underfunding in tribal communities, there had already been less services provided to American Indians. And less services mean that a lot of folks did not go in for primary care services for treatment for chronic illnesses such as diabetes, heart disease, and lung diseases, which are all risk factors for coronavirus infection. And as soon as people started getting sick, you know, they started going to urgent care facilities or hospitals in their tribal communities, and the facilities were immediately overrun. And of course, when someone has coronavirus, they require extensive care from respiratory therapists, pulmonologists, and those many times are not available within the Indian Health Service.
Vaccination efforts are now underway, and here in Maricopa County, Native Americans are vaccinated now at a higher rate than any other racial or ethnic group. And I know on the Navajo Nation, well over a third of the population has had at least one shot, which is about twice the rate of Arizona on the whole. It seems like some of those same logistical barriers and underfunding of health services might have led to disparities that stood in the way of these vaccination efforts. So is it surprising to you at all that that doesn't seem to be the case here?
Due to the fact that American Indian communities suffer disproportionate rates of cases and of deaths from coronavirus, the National Congress of American Indians, National Indian Health Board, and other urban organizations advocated for additional funding from the CARES Act to provide needed services to our American Indian communities. In particular, funding available to Indian Health Service to provide vaccinations to tribal communities. And due to the fact that Indian Health Service was already an existing entity within tribal communities and had an extensive network of providers and facilities, they were in a better position to be able to facilitate vaccine dissemination among people who utilize Indian Health Service. They were able to vaccinate fairly quickly. And because they have the authority to designate who gets vaccinated, are able to extend those vaccinations now to those who are in the 1C group. So 16 and 18 and above are now being vaccinated. So they've been really good at rolling out vaccines for their communities now, in addition to the education and outreach they've been doing regularly through social media, through community health representatives and health educators out there in the community.
Yeah, so it sounds like even though the Indian Health Service has this issue of chronic underfunding, the fact that it's a fairly wide network worked to its advantage in this particular case.
Yes, that is so true.
The Navajo Nation throughout the pandemic has taken a very different approach to handling the virus. They've had strict lockdowns and curfews, while in Arizona, you can go out and find, you know, restaurants, businesses have been open for months. Do you get the sense that there's been support for that stricter approach?
The tribal communities, since they've been so impacted with COVID and have the public health authority to do public health codes, Navajo Nation in particular established those restrictions on movement. And there was tremendous support for this because almost every single family on the Navajo Nation has been impacted by coronavirus. I myself have lost 5 in the past 2 months, and that today I just lost another aunt who had been suffering for the last several months. And because of those, because of the care that Native Americans have for elders, for family members, the community was seen more important versus the individual.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear about your family members. I'm wondering, for you especially, this has been so personal and obviously painful. What do you feel looking ahead, seeing, you know, the high vaccination rates, the declining numbers?
With the declining numbers of coronavirus cases on the Navajo Nation, and, you know, we're seeing less and less death, that's the immediate response is, you know, we're very fortunate to have passed through this phase of the coronavirus, but this is just only one phase. Now comes the other part of the pandemic, which is the long-term effects of the coronavirus. That would be ensuring the health of those who've been impacted by coronavirus. We also have to look at the behavioral health and mental health needs of our community. As we've seen so many loved ones pass, you know, what is the grieving process for our communities and how do we move forward from that?
That was Agnes Attakai. She is Director of Health Disparities Outreach and Prevention Education at the Mel and Enid Zuckerman College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
That was KJZZ's Catherine Davis Young. She'll be contributing over the next several weeks with some interviews like this one.